This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Brooklinen and BetterHelp.
This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in the show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Ho Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her, who is down with the resistance, who is grieving like the rest of us, and who wears a mask every time.
Every time.
That I'm outside interacting with people.
Not at home.
I don't wear a mask in the shower
24/7. And me, Rodeca, a fat black non-monogamous existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
Mm-hmm. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This week, we are doing a deep dive episode on a topic of our choice, and that topic is a very fucking cool topic to both of these people with the Tron backgrounds, the Tron-esque backgrounds.
Gotta see it on YouTube.
See it on YouTube. It's fucking exclusive. This episode, we're getting into our futuristic hoe bags and getting into biohacking for sex. If you don't know, biohacking is the umbrella term for DIY citizen science biology that aims to improve human life. And it turns out there's a bunch of overlap between biohacking and sex. Today, we're touching on aspects like nootropics to boost libido, cyborg clitorises, access in marginalized communities, ability, gender-affirming hormone therapy, and extra limbs for playtime, and much, much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoUprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoUprising, CUMMUNITY. Head to InnerHoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, Pay Your Ho, or to check out some merchandise.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of things that we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. That email is in the show notes. Now we're getting into a segment that we like to call Ho of the Week. It's where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Ho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week we had a couple of hoes of the week. We got Rome, aka Jerome's in the house. I said Jerome's in the house, who became a patron on Patreon. I appreciate the dance over there, Rod.
Yeah, we hyped you up.
We got Feminist Fatale, whose nickname is Feminist Fatale, aka the artiste who upped their pledge on Patreon. Thank you so much. We got Carla LT, whose nickname is CLT, like a BLT, but better, who upped their pledge on Patreon. We got Reggie, aka Reggie Rockets, who became a patron on Patreon. If this is the same Reggie who commented on iTunes a couple of weeks ago, then great, because that's the same nickname. If not, I gotta give you a new nickname, and I'm sorry. I was just assuming. I feel like Reggie is not that common of a nickname.
It's so, not. Okay. I know zero Reggies.
I know one Reggie my whole life. We have Maya W, aka M Dubs, who became a patron on Patreon, and we got Anna Lucia V, aka Audiovisual, who became a patron on Patreon. If you would like to be a Ho of the Week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can feature us in an article you've written. You can shout us out on social media. These are all non-monetary ways that you can support the hoes. We love both monetary and non-monetary support. And we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks. It's literally now more than ever. It's like every day it actually gets now more than ever.
Yes.
Yeah. So anybody who does support us monetarily, we really, really appreciate that. But if you can't, Don't sweat it, baby. Don't sweat it. Don't spend your last dollars on us. Put you and yous first. But if you can spare some extra change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. You can be a patron on Patreon by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising, or you can purchase some merchandise by going to innerhouprising.com/merchandise, the links to which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon, for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film night. We gotta watch Check It one of these days.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. And any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early, and entry to our workshops and parties, and entry to our pre-recording Zoom hangouts. We just had one, and we were talking about blue eyebrows and hair wax and Lovecraft country and the fact that no one in Brooklyn wants to wear a mask.
Yes, Brooklyn is disrespectful. That was the main topic, but yes.
Where Brooklyn at?
In
maskless.
The
oh shit, damn. Nah, there's mad I people who Brooklyn, are gonna
y'all.
Come for you.
I was about to say, please, y'all.
There's mad. It's like, nah. I always get like the Arkansas, Alabama kind of heat. You're asking
I did
for
it way
a
too
different
close
type
to
of
home.
Heat. There. Welcome to the Brooklyn Slander Podcast.
Now that that's done.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into the self-care tip of the week. We love all of New York. This is a segment where we give you some advice onto how to care for yourself for the week. This week's self-care tip is less of a tip and just a pointing you in the direction of resources. So I think I'm going to jump off a ledge and say, I think it's safe to say that at some point this year you have grieved something if you are listening to this podcast. So whether it's what's going on in Kenosha or just all of this country in regards to racial violence or all of the world in regards to racial violence, whether it's the passing of Chadwick Boseman or Kobe Bryant or Naya Rivera, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's continuously seeing stories about Black trans folks who have been murdered or beaten, whether it's opportunities, plans, and friendships that you've lost during shelter in place. There is just a lot of stuff to grieve this year, and it seems like it is happening back to back to back to back to back. So on this episode, we're not talking about any of that. So allow this to be a space where you can find some reprieve today, where you don't have to think about said things. However, if you do find yourself needing help processing your grief, and podcasting is your medium of choice, which I would think because you're listening to a podcast right now, we're going to drop a link of a playlist of podcasts that may help you along the way. Podcasts all about grief and processing grief. Shout out to Barry from Podcasts in Color, who curated this list. We've all been grieving collectively all year, and we could all probably benefit from the resources. So feel free to use those. The link will be in the show notes. And love you guys, man. Stay up.
We're here with you, you know, and we love you for sure.
Keep your head up. Ooh, child. Things are gonna be easier.
Not the gas ahead of like you're just like, oh, I'm about to bust this note out. Yo, I felt that.
Yeah. Goes from the Brooklyn Slander podcast to the fucking Sam Can't Sing podcast. Just love these renditions.
It's just renditions, variety.
Yeah, a good,
you know, you never know. Fucking, you never know what's around the corner.
It's a career shift. I'm just trying out new things, man. All right, well, a few weeks ago, Akua talked about the importance of a morning routine and beginning with a great foundation to your day. One part of my morning routine is actually making up my bed. It's one of the first things I accomplish for the day and also prepares me for when I'm ready to hop back in at night. There's nothing better than getting in a bed that's already made. Like, you don't have to fucking take off your sheets that you left there. Not your sheets, your clothes, your laundry that you left there, or whatever else you left there. Just, like, hopping into bed feels mad good. And one of the best parts of hopping into your bed after making it is the wonderful feeling of the sheets that you're hopping into. And for your bed sheet needs, we're going to have to recommend that you go with Brooklinen. So it went from a Brooklyn slander podcast to a Brooklinen two thumbs
positivity.
Up exactly.
Yes.
Once again, a career shift, a good career change. So we're not talking about the borough of Brooklyn anymore. We're talking about the company Brooklinen, which is actually founded by two people from Brooklyn. It is home of the internet's favorite bed sheets. Both Rebecca and I have Brooklinen sheets coming to a bed near us, and I'm super excited because not only are these sheets super affordable, but they're also high quality and great to look at. Brooklinen has options for you, a variety of sheets, color patterns, and materials for your lounging needs. They are classic percale, cool and crisp with timeless matte finish, luxe satin, buttery smooth cotton sheets, linen, of course, airy and effortlessly chic, made with the highest quality flax in the world, and heathered cashmere, made for sweater weather, keeping you comfy and cozy. You need some of that for when fall comes around. Brooklinen sheets are the perfect place to start making your mornings great. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all of their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code IHU only at brooklinen.com. That is brooklinen.com/IHU. That's I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. I love comfort.
I like that.
I love comfort.
Don't you?
Yeah, it's good. It's one of the best parts of life, actually. I shine bright in all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright in all our different colors, all our different colors. Brooklyn spitter, bad girl killer, known as the baddest, ass ain't the fattest, more than my assets, and I still cause a lot of havoc, but I be on peace and positive energy, still living in a world where folks trying to kill me. Here I be, black women and queer, created all these rules that I couldn't adhere to. Resilient, but don't ever fuck with my rights. The more I rise, the more they're trying to bring me down, 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 down. Now, let's get... We were talking about Beast Day. We started with Brooklyn. Now we're talking about Brooklinen. Now let's go to Very Good Bee. Biohacking.
What a transition. What a transition.
I be trying. I just practice transitioning in the mirror every day for anything. For anything. All transitions.
All transitions, all scenarios.
All right. Well, we're getting into a topic that we like to call Fuck It. It is our topic of the day. And we're talking about biohacking for sex. What's going on here? What does that even for mean?
Sex. What does it mean, y'all? So, you know, on IHU, we're not strangers to talking about where technology and sex meet. In fact, it's one of our favorite things to talk about. So, biohacking is kind of, sounds like futuristic and all that type of stuff, but it's happening now. It's very real. It's very present day. And it basically aims to improve the many facets of being human, including and especially sex. We will be talking about what biohacking is, its subcultures, biohacking sex through chemicals and tech, and how biohacking affects disabled trans folks who may not have access to our tech-filled future. Mm. So biohacking is an extremely broad term that can cover a huge range of activities, from performing science experiments on yeast or other organisms, to tracking your own sleep and diet, to changing your own biology by pumping a younger person's blood into your veins in the hopes that it'll fight aging. No, that is not a joke.
Teen blood.
Yes.
That is an actual teen thing. Blood. Teen blood.
People are doing this right now. Yeah. So many questions. Who's donating? You know,
literally
what?
Right. Fine. Now.
That's literally why we're
like
talking
4 years
about
years
it.
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah. This is past. This is happening right under your nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the type of biohackers that are currently gaining the most attention are the ones who experiment outside of traditional lab spaces and institutions and on their own bodies with the hopes of boosting their physical and cognitive performance. They form one branch of transhumanism, a movement that holds that human beings can and should use technology to augment and evolve our species. So I think this is a little while ago, but you may have heard me refer to myself as a transhumanist, which is why this topic has interested me so much. I really delved into biohacking personally and transhumanism communities since COVID started. It was kind of like my way of grasping or feeling like I had some type of agency over what my body was doing, because I was never more aware of the fact that I was a human being and I was existing and all this stuff than when, you know, there's this unseen force that could change everything. And it's been kind of like a little side project of mine, just researching, going on these communities, ordering things, experiment. It's been a fun time. So when the opportunity came up, I was like, nah, we got to talk about this. So some biohackers have science PhDs and others are complete amateurs. Their way of trying to hack biology is as diverse as they are. There's no one size fits all way of doing this. But as a disclaimer, we're going to talk about this, but in no way are we saying, all right, do this. We're giving you a how-to guide. None of that is happening. We're just telling you that it is happening, but it's all purely experimental. Mm-hmm. And while some aspects are backed by science, it all comes with an inherent risk.
Yes.
So there's some subcultures. There's three major ones of biohacking. So nutrigenomics focuses on how the food you eat interacts with your genes. Mm-hmm. So it's popular but controversial type of biohacking, and it's founded on the idea that your body's total genetic expression can be mapped out and optimized by testing how different nutrients affect your health. Nutrigenomics is also related to other subcategories in biohacking like sleep manipulation, exercise, attention hacking, adjusting environmental triggers like sound and light. You might have heard someone saying that you need to turn off blue light before you go to bed so you can sleep better. Mm-hmm. These are all different forms of biohacking. Mm. And stress management, which is very important nowadays. Mm. So, yes, right? Exactly. Nootropics are one aspect of nutrigenomics. They are substances in natural supplement or food and beverage form used to increase cognitive function. This can include your mood, productivity, or attention span. The most popular and most commonly used nootropic is caffeine.
There you go. Hacking. Wow.
You don't even know about
every
it.
Every single morning.
Day.
That's wild.
It's supposed to pep you up, and it changes your function and your focus, and that's what a nootropic is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the coffee nap that I do is an even advanced version of that. I've been hacking exactly. myself this whole time since college.
Yeah. Adaptogens. So adaptogens are a select group of herbs or some mushrooms that support the body's natural ability to deal with stress. They are called adaptogens because of their unique ability to adapt their function according to the specific needs of the body. This may be physical, chemical, or biological needs. A good one that a lot of people know about is reishi mushrooms, which is supposed to help with your immunity and your longevity. It's very... Almost adaptogens are very based off of Chinese medicine. So you'll look back on all that stuff and they've been using it for years, but now it's becoming more popular and something that we're talking about modern day.
More westernized.
Yes, more westernized, which comes with its own implications, but we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
Intravenous nutrient therapy or IV therapy. This one's a little extreme, but there's a lot of IV therapies that are... IV therapy centers that are claiming to offer the most direct way to introduce vitamins and minerals into the bloodstream. You don't think about it, but if you were to Google it, there's probably one in your town or one that's like in a major city near you. It's popping up and they're doing it. Since the digestive tract is being avoided and assumption is much more efficient and there's no gastric stress, that's why they're saying that, you know, if you want to take these B12 vitamins, it's being absorbed in your stomach and being burnt up. So the best way to do it is to go straight to the vein. And their offerings tend to focus on immunity and reducing the effects of aging and stress.
Is that one like validated?
IV therapy actually does bypass the stomach and go straight to it. Now, do you need that much B12?
Yeah.
Is
there
so
a benefit
the
in
exactly.
your life?
You are passing the stomach. You are technically getting more of this nutrient. Mm-hmm. But do you need 300 milligrams of B12?
I gotta have my B12.
That's where the the controversy comes in.
I see.
Because you could be over supplementing for something that you don't really need.
Mm.
So nutrigenomics also looks at how different nutrients affect how you feel, think, and behave. B12 is one of them. A lot of people know about that one. Iron, stuff like that that we kind of hear about from doctors or in general, that's definitely falling under what biohacking is or nutrigenomics.
Okay.
There's also DIY biology. So DI bio, that's a shortened version of that, is a biohacking subculture of people who conduct biological experiments and study life sciences outside of conventional means. It started in the early 2000s. So many teachers in the subcultures are former educators or scientific researchers who want to show the average person how to conduct experiments. So they'll be on forums saying, you know, this is what I learned in school. This is how you can do it at home. They share tips and techniques to help non-experts conduct structured experiments on themselves outside of a controlled experimental environment like labs or medical offices.
I'm curious about, because I was going down a path there before it got to experiments on themselves, because that scared me. But the outside of labs, like what, like in a lab that's run by an institution? Because like, what were they doing on their bathroom floor? Like, and could it just be you creating your own lab? You know what I mean?
It could, and that's where it varies, because obviously anybody can pick it up and go, hey, like, I want to do this experiment. I'm going to follow these YouTube steps, or this one person tells me something. And you could do it in like a crude sense where you're just on your bathroom floor figuring it out. And they do give you the tools for that. But most people who are like super serious about it, and depending on the resources that they can obtain, you know, they have like these testing kits, or they're doing like all these experiments by building their own labs.
Gotcha. I've talked about this on the show before, but there's this space in Brooklyn, where Brooklyn at, called Gen Space. And I don't actually know if they consider themselves biohackers. It's run by, I think they're all geneticists, Janina from In Those Genes podcast, which I produce, is on the board. It's a community science space, so you don't have to be a scientist or be trained in biology to utilize the space. And you also, like, they host classes where they teach people certain, I feel like they have like certain gene editing courses, not gene editing on yourself, but on like, like yeast or something like that, or microorganisms, for example,
which is biohacking.
Right. And you can do like a 6-week course, and that's you're not dope. A scientist, and you're not doing it in school or anything. It is a really dope space. So I feel like they're biohacking. So shout out to the homies. That was a long way to say shout out. I went to one of their classes with one of my friends, and we did microbe painting, where it was genetically edited E. coli, like deadened or like weakened or whatever, so they can't affect you, but you still wear your gloves and all that kind of stuff and wash your hands after you leave. The E. coli is manipulated to give off different colors after it interacts with like a UV light for a certain time.
Okay.
So we like use the different ones and like made things on little petri dish plates or whatever. It's called agar art.
That's cool as hell. Excuse me.
So one of my things was a Black Power Fist Breaking Change, which is basically this tattoo that I have here. Only YouTubers can see it. And that was supposed to emphasize like breaking down boundaries or barriers towards people of color entering science, and Black people specifically entering science. But my second painting was just the word "these nuts."
Oh my God. It's like I hold my breath like, man, she's laughing, but it could be anything, and it has to be classic. Classic Sam, which is "these nuts."
Oh man. Yeah, that was a fun time. So shout out to Gen Space. When the world opens back up, I would suggest people go there who are interested in like biohacking.
That's dope. Yeah. I definitely want to go there now. Yeah, for sure. Well, not now,
eventually. Yeah.
But we talked about DIY bio, we talked about nutrigenomics, but the last but not certainly not least, and we'll be talking about them quite a bit today, are grinders. So grinders are
the gay dating app.
Yeah, and that's exact. I know that's probably the first thing. Like, wait a minute, grinders is out here sciencing it up. Nah, they're same name, different MO. Okay, so grinders are a biohacking subculture that sees every part of the human body as hackable. In general, grinders seek to become cyborgs by optimizing their body with a combination of gadgets, chemical injections, implants or anything else that they can put into their bodies to make it work how they want it to. Grindr communities identify with transhumanist and biopunk ideologies. So they're very like, we all want access to this. We all want to be able to do what we want to do. Anti-establishment, anti just like one person having the power. Everybody should have power to have agency over their own bodies. So biohacking for sex. So we talked about why people might do it for a number of different reasons. But for sex, there's like the huge subset of people wanting to, you know, kind of increase their libidos, increase their sex drive, do all this type of stuff that makes sex better. Because people enjoy sex. We love sex. If we could make it better, why not? Sometimes the libido fluctuates. Social anxiety comes into play. Stress and a lot of other factors can get in the way of really enjoying sex. So people are using chemicals and herbs to circumvent those issues. People also use chemicals and herbs to mimic the euphoria that comes with traditional illegal drugs that usually lead to better sex. And they're going the legal route. Experimental, but
legal. Definitely interesting.
And the chemicals and herbs range from natural, which are adaptogens, to super synthetic, straight up made in the lab. And that's where you get to research chemicals. The more synthetic, the more regulation decreases and risk increases. So some examples of adaptogens that people use for sex. So we have ashwagandha root. It's listed in Karma Sutra. It is said to ignite passion and desire. It's an adaptogen that also is said to up the satisfaction by increasing blood flow to the sexual organs and making the whole act of sex a more intense experience.
I think it's Kama Sutra, though.
Kama Sutra? Did I put Karma Sutra? I did.
Yeah, you did. You don't Kama come, Sutra. You come twice. It comes back to you. Karma.
It comes back around. Yeah. So listed in the Kama Sutra. So maca root is a nootropic. It's a Peruvian plant that has been the focus of countless sex-enhancing studies, and the evidence suggests that it works. The thing is, no one knows why it works. It just increases a person's sex drive. It doesn't have any hormones in it. It just works. And it's also considered an aphrodisiac. Well, it works for the person. Not, we can't say that any one thing works for every individual, but based off of the studies, it does have some improvement. It's considered an aphrodisiac, an energy promoter, and an all-around nutritional powerhouse.
So that people are like reporting like, yeah, my sex drive is higher.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But it could be the placebo effect.
It could be. I haven't seen any double-blind studies. I think people know they go into it the intention of taking something to boost their libido.
Okay, interesting.
Tribulus is another adaptogenic herb that has a long history of supporting sexual function and desire, but has also been shown to improve mood and reduce stress and anxiety, which also have a negative impact on sex drive. And then there's Tongkat Ali, which is also a nootropic. It has been shown to support hormone balance, boost testosterone, reduce fatigue, and improve overall well-being. This is something that when I worked in a gym, which is very funny, I always saw on like those, in some of those like pre-workout things. Yeah. And you'll be surprised how they're in there, and it's supposed to like just kind of rev you up, but that can also be used in a sex aspect, and that's how people are using it.
I will say that Tribulus and Tongkat Ali both sound very sexual. Tribulus just sounds like tripping. Tribulus sounds like tripping. So I'm already thinking of like
action. The egg before the chicken type of thing. We don't know. Maybe they just like, this sounds kind of hot, so let me call it that. I don't know.
Tongkat.
So now we're going on to nootropics for sex. There's ginseng, Panax ginseng. I think a lot of people have heard of ginseng.
Yeah.
It's usually used for cognitive enhancement or general health purposes, but the root is also useful for improving erectile health. The higher doses help people with penises with erectile dysfunction and those who desire stronger erections. There's also alpha GPC or acetylcholine. It's used to boost your acetylcholine levels that can improve your sex life. So acetylcholine or ACH is the most abundant neurotransmitter in your nervous system, and it affects pretty much every system in the body, including libido and sex drive. ACH is necessary to send impulses from your brain to your nether regions, or your private parts.
Yo, genitals, baby.
It can also boost the level of nitrous oxide in your blood, another huge factor in sexual performance. Alpha GPC and citicoline are both potent sources of choline. By increasing your intake of choline, you can help your body produce more ACH and allow you to perform better. Both, and most of these things also have an overlap with athletes, but people also use it for sex as well.
Yeah, I'm curious about the phrase perform better.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And, like, your stamina?
They didn't really emphasize it because I'm looking at it and it just says perform better. So I'm assuming that means stamina. I'm assuming that means the effort that you put in more, like more thrust, which is what I was gonna say. But maybe stamina.
No, that's actually two different things, right?
Yeah. You know?
I see,
like,
what you're
the difference between going longer and going harder.
Yeah,
it's both.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
It feels very penis-centric.
Yeah.
Or even like strap, but like, I don't know.
But if you think about it, women or people with vaginas are just not penises.
Mm-hmm.
They need to perform better too. I need to be able to like hop on top and, you know, I want to be able to do it. That's what I was thinking about it. And that could be because that's just what I usually want to be able to do longer.
Okay. Maybe it sounds top centric. I'll say that.
Yes.
And as a bottom, I'm like, perform better. I'm just laying there. I'm just kidding.
Well, this next one is actually a good one. So it's L-arginine. L-arginine is demonstrated to have the ability to boost sexual desire, vaginal dryness. So it combats that frequency of sexual intercourse and orgasm. So people want to have sex more and they're reaching orgasm, clitoral sensation, and have demonstrated a significant improvement in erectile dysfunction. So this one's just working.
All right. I fucked with L-arginine. I fucked with L-arginine.
L-arginine is the one that you want. Because the other one's like, all right, well, I don't have any of those things. So nootropics are kind of like the middle ground between adaptogens and research chemicals, because they can be found in nature, but they're also usually synthesized a little bit more to make them stronger in labs. So they're definitely the halfway point. But then we get to research chemicals. So research chemicals are also called designer drugs and legal highs. They are a new synthetic substance that mimic existing drugs. Structurally, they are almost identical to the original drug, while different enough to not be classified as the same substances. One that it just made me laugh because it was just like kind of smart, but one that I usually reference so people can kind of understand it is methylene, which is MDMC, is and has similar effects to MDMA.
Yeah.
So you see how that C, it makes it legal and it's something that I can purchase, but it's the same thing.
Wow, that's very interesting.
So yeah, science, man. Science just be out here doing some crazy shit. It means that they're not quite the same anymore and it leads to a different effect, but it still has a psychoactive effect if that's what you desire. Because they're new compounds, they can circumvent the law for their illegal counterpart and can be sold without the immediate risk of prosecution. People who are really serious about it usually have a testing kit and the scale to ensure quality, but there is a lot of trial and error. They're not being regulated whatsoever. So people can order something, do a test, and it's something completely different and potentially dangerous. So it's definitely more underground, more risky. People use RCs to mimic things like MDMA, mushrooms, LSD, ecstasy, in order to have this euphoria of better sex, because if you've ever been on ecstasy having sex, you know it's tops. Without completely incriminating myself, whatever. I have tried a research chemical before.
Okay. It's what did like you try?
I tried 2CB, which is a mashup between MDMA and LSD, right?
That sounds fucking
MDMA
horrifying.
And LSD.
I'm literally, like, I'm not a narc, but that is so scary to me.
You're like, I don't even want this for you, man. What's going on over there? Look, COVID, man. COVID is when, and it's all started then. Designer drugs can also be substances that are not psychoactive in effect, such as analogs of controlled steroids or performance and image enhancing drugs, including nootropics. Nootropics are a form of research chemicals when they're synthetic, weight loss drugs, and erectile dysfunction medications. So pretty much anything could be a research chemical, because everything is chemicals. Everything that we are, everything that we ingest and all that type of stuff can be broken down to a chemical compound. So if you're trying to have a direct effect, or if you want to make something stronger, you can kind of change it up if you have a lab and you have the time and investment for it. I would not recommend going this route. I don't know why I need to say it, but because people are doing it and it might intrigue some people, but I 100% think that because you're literally using your body as this vessel for experimentation, you don't know. You don't know what someone is selling you. You don't know how your own genetics will react to it, because it's a constant. What works for some doesn't work for everyone. Some people can't have coffee, and that's just plain coffee. They get the jitters, they get crazy, or some people, they're not affected by it at all. They get no boost whatsoever. And the same thing goes for all of the above. It's just, you never know how your body's going to react to something.
Yeah.
And research chemicals are not the most volatile. It's just taking the pure substance and going, well, hopefully I'm high like I was when I was taking MDMA. So, and that's why it's a little scary, as opposed to taking like ginseng, which is tea. And, you know, it's just different.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Cue chemicals react by Allie and AJ. Somebody.
Sorry. Chemicals react.
Just got to have them on just to sing that for these fucking science episodes.
It's going to come on.
Is this conversation in this episode so far resonating with you, helping you learn something new, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time? What's that you say? It is? Well, we love to hear that. We also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, please take a moment to subscribe to us or drop us 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerho uprising, or just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this good ass podcast. It's called Innerho Uprising. We thank and love you all for your continued support. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Is it the pandemic? Is it the racial imbalance in the country? Is it the back-to-back grief that we discussed earlier in the episode? I know for me personally, it's all of the above. Which is why I love the online therapy service BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not locally be available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. I just want to give one moment to stan my fucking therapist and all of the support that she gives me, and just how much growth I've experienced over these past, I think it's like a year I've been using this now. Just like, yes. Stan to the fucking queen, man. God. And over these past couple of months with this pandemic and all this shit,
it's different.
I don't know where I would be. I really don't know where I would be, and that's like facts. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, as do we here at Innerho Uprising. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. We have a special offer for Innerho Uprising listeners, and that is that you can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. Once again, that's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. Now we're going to get down with the get down. We're going to talk about the boys, and it is a lot of boys, honestly, who are just like hacking shit in their bodies physically. Rodeca was talking about the nootropics and the adaptogens and the designer chemicals, but some people like to get hard with hardware. That's a penis joke. And maybe the best one that I've ever told. I really enjoyed that. I was like, really,
that was a good time.
I was really proud of myself halfway through.
It was smooth. You were like, now I'm about to put it on these niggas, man. They don't even know.
That's a fact. All right. Well, now we're going to get into the aspect of biohacking for sex that involves physical body modification and implants. Rebecca told you earlier that it's called Grindr, but it's with an E this time. It's not Grindr like the app. According to biohack.me, Grinders are passionate individuals who believe that the tools and knowledge of science belong to everyone. Grinders practice functional extreme body modification in an effort to improve the human condition, a term that I'd like to talk about a little bit later. Grinders hack themselves with electronic hardware to extend and improve human capacities and believe in action that their bodies are the experiment. Some non-sexual examples of grinders include, or grinding activities, or people grinding themselves, include implanting magnets and RFID chips under the skin's surface, implanting microchips, compasses, and miniature hard drives, also wireless routers. There are people who use night vision eye drops. There are people who literally perform gene therapy on themselves. One famous case is a man who installed an antenna in his head because he was colorblind and he wanted to use the antenna to feel vibrations associated with color. Yeah, shout out to Harbison. Neil Harbison.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Is this safe and legal, you might be asking? So safe, I feel like I'm even taking a little bit more of a liberal approach than you took, because you were like, I would not suggest that you do this. I can't and won't suggest that you do this. So like, I nor Interho Uprising is encouraging anyone to do any biohacking body modification on themselves or get biohacking body modification at the hands of others. However, I mean, safe is not really like my call to make. That's your call to make. So it kind of reminds me, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but I feel like there's a lot of overlap between grinders and kink in the kink community. But like, safe reminds me of like safe, sane, and consensual, which people have talked about, like what is sane if you have mental illness and things like that. But then there's RAC, which is risk aware consented kink, I believe. It's like consensual.
Okay.
Risk aware consented kink. Yeah. I don't think. But like, what's safe? I'm getting very philosophical right now. But like, is it safe to live in America right now? No, but we still do it.
Yeah.
But like,
I think the, when I said it, I was just doing a typical black thing, which is like,
you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't hear it from me, but because like, I'm talking about it as if I didn't just say that
you
I
did say TV, that,
or as if I didn't just say like I bought nootropics and I'm doing different sex.
Yeah.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't want anybody to be like, yo.
No.
Nigga
we did not tell you to do this.
And that's why I didn't even want to put, like, at one point in time, there was, like, dosages. Nah, it's all different. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that was just me going, I mean,
now, you didn't hear it from me. Well, as someone, okay, so that's,
yeah, I mean,
you're someone who is doing it. I don't have any fucking microchips in my body. And I don't plan on doing that anytime soon, but I don't know. Who knows what the future holds? But yeah, I think it's just like a broader question of like, what the fuck is safe? And like, if you are, I mean, there are certain things where it's like, I don't think anybody should be fucking experimenting on people without their consent. And I mean, fully, like full consent, like risk aware consent and things like that. But if you want to see something happen in the world and you're not seeing it from science and you're like, what's stopping you? And why should you be stopped?
I don't know.
Yeah. So there's like safe, but like to talk about risk, because there are risks. There's obviously a risk in putting any chemical or piece of technology literally into your body. There's risk of infection. There's risk of how your body may react to the implant or the side effects that might cause, because this is a substance that's foreign to your body. I mean, but that's why there's overlap here between the body modification community, because like your body could reject a fucking piercing, for example. There's like all of these magnets being inserted. One big risk is like, you can never do an MRI if that magnet is magnetized. You would have to get it demagnetized, which we'll talk about a little bit later. In terms of legality, when it comes to biohacker, quote unquote, surgeons, as they're called, so long as they say that they're performing extreme body modification and not surgery and do not claim to offer health benefits with the body modification, then apparently it's like legal, because you're not saying like,
wow,
doing surgery.
This brings us back to like Okay, so if people are doing this on a bathroom floor or in the back of like a tattoo shop, and you just go a little further back, and they're like, nah, it's just a.
It's like in the beginning, it's like I'm getting my ears pierced, then you're getting a fucking sleeve, and then in the back, you're getting a microchip in your ass.
Exactly. And like, if they're all, you know,
all under one roof,
said, then.
Yeah, that's interesting. One instance of this. So the FDA was upset at a biohacker named Josiah Zahner, who was selling gene-edited kits to brew glow-in-the-dark beers. I don't know why I want to say coffee. Maybe I just want to drink glow-in-the-dark coffee. Because
we're talking about caffeine. Yeah.
But yeah, he was using kits to brew glow-in-the-dark beers, which was like basically using CRISPR to like change the genomes of the yeast in the beer. Okay. That was never deemed illegal, but at one point the FDA was like, wait a second there. Then it was revealed, or maybe he like made it public, I don't remember, I haven't looked back at the story in a couple of years, but he injected himself with CRISPR. So if you heard last week's episode, we talked about CRISPR. Injecting yourself with CRISPR is, or injecting people with CRISPR is actually a thing, and that's like legal, and that isn't the same thing as germline editing, which changes your lineage forever.
Yeah.
Go back to that episode and listen to that if you need to catch up. But he injected himself with CRISPR, and after that, the FDA said you can't sell gene editing kits for use in humans. But he's not selling that. He's selling beer. But you consume the beer.
Yeah.
But
it's going in your body.
We have genetically modified things all the time. So there you go. Yeah, but what he's doing is not illegal. But, you know, selling a kit is. So keep that in mind if you were building a CRISPR kit. I don't know. Anyway, a little bit about the Grindr vibes, which I want to get into because this is all related. I mean, if people are doing these things, people have sex. So, like, who are people doing these things? And are they, like, us, you know? Yeah. So they're very body mod from everything that I've seen. So, like, for example, like if you don't know what I mean by body mod, like tons of tattoos, piercings before they were mainstream, but like we're talking like split tongues, horns, elf ears, like that's what I mean by extreme body modification. Like that is very akin to this community, in my opinion. They're very punk. Rebecca talked about biopunk earlier. It's a very like fuck the establishment kind of setup. And they are pretty white and mostly male. Also, like when you go on Wikipedia and whatever, Wikipedia is not a trusted source, but it is. That's still community science, nigga. But like somebody has like there's like a list on Wikipedia of like prominent grinders, and it's like pretty much all men. And then like one person is like genderless. So it started to make me think like, what is it about this space and what is it about biohacking that lends itself to patriarchy? But like, isn't that science in general? But then with like what you were saying before, like, isn't biohacking supposed to be like this do it yourself? We're going against the grain. Ugh, fuck the establishment. But like in these ways, we're being very much like the establishment. So
I think about it. And when you first said it, obviously, that's not the right answer. There's no right answer. But like people can only do what they know. And they're just like, all right, this is a system. And yeah, we have these ideals, but I only know how to model another system.
Right.
So I'm just translating.
And I'm still like a white person who is unaware or unable.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's like access and who gets to play in these spaces and things like that, which we'll talk about later.
Even though it's an emerging science, it's still, if you're
still coming off the heels of science.
Exactly.
And just America. So, but yeah, more on that later. Let's talk about sex now. Here's some biohacking for sex examples. There's a lot less examples than one might think, or maybe not. I don't know. I guess if there's not that many examples of like biohacking in regards to grinders and body modification in general, then there isn't going to be that much in regards to sex. But
yeah,
I stumbled across, which inspired this whole episode, I stumbled across a 2018 article. I stumbled across this in 2018 actually and wrote it down a long time ago, written in CNET by a writer named Eric Mack, which was just like, oh, here are these biohackers modifying their bodies for sex. So it goes over a couple of examples. The first example mentioned in the article is the electromagnetic clitoris implant. So that is a, see that face you're making over there? That is a magnetic implant that you place inside of your clitoris, or somebody else's places inside of your clitoris, that gives pulsing sensations when triggered by the energy of another device, like a fan, music coming from speakers, or even a car being turned on. Now 38-year-old woman, she was 36 at the time of the article, named Anita, has a body modification artist husband named Sampa Cyborg, who actually installed or implanted her magnetic clitoral implant. One thing that I think is funny when I talk about all this is like how sometimes I say installed instead of implanted, which is going like full technological side of the cyborgness of it.
Updates be
installed. I don't know why I keep doing that, but it just feels, it makes more sense to say I installed a microchip than I implanted a microchip to me. Anita had to get this demagnetized because she actually needed an MRI, like I was saying before, and didn't want the, as she said, magnet to shoot through her skin.
Oh, man.
Which, yeah, then I'm just like,
what happened? Yeah.
That's fucking scary. Oh, God. Yeah, my concerns involve infection, MRIs, obviously, and then like what opening up your clitoris does to the nerves there.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine that being a pleasurable experience. I can't imagine that being something that wouldn't necessarily affect the sensitivity afterwards. Right. Just because it's being sliced open.
You said sliced.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Woof. It's being installed.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So Sampa, the husband or boyfriend, I don't remember, has been told. I could just scroll up. Let me just read
boyfriend
it.
Boyfriend or husband or whatever.
Just like, fuck monogamy. Anyway, Sampa has been toying with the idea of a vibrating implant. So not an electromagnetic, oh yeah, we're just riding the wave, like an actual thing in your clitoris that vibrates. However, at this time, he's uncertain as to how it would work in regards to issues like underpowered or unreliable batteries. How do you charge it once it's
in
there?
Which makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. A few years ago, there was an April Fool's story about a similar product called the Orgasmia by a company called Fun Factory. And it like looked like a little clitoris going inside your actual clitoris. And they were like, oh, yeah, it vibrates. And like people reported on it. And then it was like, no, this is not a real thing. So if you ever saw that, that's not a real thing. He also says, Sampa, that he one day wants to make these vibrating clitoral implants have an alert when your lover is close by, which I just didn't understand the point of that. Like, if you have, and there are some people who don't, if you do not have any five senses, sure, but then you can't feel it, never mind. What's the point of this? Let me actually work through that. What's the point of this? I don't get what the point of that would be. I don't get other than do it just to do it, which like I'm also for doing it just to do it, but I don't understand the practicality or value in something like that.
I agree. I'm looking at it because I'm just
like it just vibrates just when
like, hey, I have this thing, I can do this thing. I don't see it. I don't want that.
Like it just vibrates when
they
come in.
I can already see this person. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is like maybe kink. Maybe
I can feel
like
that when they come in. Like, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was like literally like the point was alert because that's what the word he used.
Like to let me know.
Yeah. Like I don't need to know. I don't need to know. But if it's just like a thing that happens, like, oh yeah, that's kind of sexy. Okay. Sure. I don't think alert is the word, but I'll give you that. And the capability to record data like body temperature and blood pressure, which can quote unquote, he says, help with your next move. That kind of reminds me of the, what is it, nootropics?
Yeah.
That allow you to quote unquote perform better. Like, I'm assuming it's like, oh, this data, like, oh, then I saw like how this person reacted to this. So now I know what moves to use.
Got it. It's like, oh, okay, I touched this one spot and they liked it. So now I know to continue.
Right.
Which is like, talk. Maybe have a
conversation.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
There's a podcast called Advice For and From the Future. It's hosted by a futurist writer named Rose Eveleth, who also has a podcast called Flash Forward. I love both of these podcasts. Nice. And on a recent episode, it was should I let my company put a chip in my hand? Which is like, should you trust your boss? And what are the implications of doing these like bio implants and things like that? And then at one point, the person who she interviewed on it, I think was talking about sex and the value of reading data during sex. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sure, like then what's interpreting that data and what is the interpretation of that data? And sure, if you're going it from like an algorithmic perspective, you can be like, oh yeah, when the heart rate is beating faster and the breath is doing all of this, which I'm not sure how a clitoral implant could read all of that, but sure. That means I was doing better, but it could be associated with that, but that doesn't necessarily mean you were doing better. The person could just be nervous.
It could also mean that
you could be scared.
The person could be uncomfortable.
You could be uncomfortable.
Could be scared. Yeah. Could be thinking about something else that has nothing to do with you.
You could be having an asthma attack.
This person could have an underlying health issue that just like happens. Yeah. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean, ah, man, I'm hitting the spot. Yeah. 'Cause what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think like a lot of us are, and I'm not saying that there's no value in these kinds of things, but like I'm imagining like Tony Stark's like screen in front of him in the Iron Man suit where he has like all of these like biometric things that he's able to read. Or like, what was I playing the other day? I started playing Arkham Asylum, the first one. Yes, I'm late, whatever. But like Batman is like looking and seeing like, oh, these enemies are like confused and they're scared and things like that.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like we all grew up on stuff like that and we want to be able to like blur the lines, or some people want to be able to blur the lines. But I think that sometimes humanity has more value than computers do, or sometimes computers can execute things better than humans.
There's a lot of misconceptions, or rather like in some communities it's very much like technology trumps everything, and we need to move away from that. There is a certain, not finesse, but there's a certain just beauty in the human touch or the human aspect, or interpreting things that aren't data, but like, you know, feelings matter.
Exactly.
Conversations matter, as opposed
especially
to like,
when it comes to sex.
I know this person. Yeah. Oh yeah, this person's fucking having a great time because their heart rate went up. I'm fat. So no matter what happens. So let's, I don't know. Like, we need to have a conversation. It's different than just looking at numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not always going to be ones and twos. That's that. Ones and twos. Ones and zeros. What the fuck is ones and twos?
That's white people being able to dance. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. There you go. Oh, damn.
Anyway. But yeah, no, for sure. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So aside from that question, some concerns. Besides infection, once again, would this cause nerve damage? Not only the slicing, as Rodica puts it, but like actually having something vibrating in there. I know people are like, oh, your vibrator is gonna make your clit go like numb or whatever forever, which is like never not been proven. But when it's actually in there, what about that? I don't know. Would this feel better or provide any benefit over like a standard vibrator? I'm not quite sold on the value of that. I like my vibrator being able to like move up and down against my clit.
Yeah.
Not
as
just like
just it being in there.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, what's the price, you know? Like, these are things that I would like to know.
Yeah, that's valid.
Let's move on to the curious case of Rich Lee. It's not really a curious case. I just wanted to say that. It is interesting, though. So Rich Lee is a grinder. He's a biohacker. Some non-sexual things that he's done in regards to biohacking. He has magnets in his ears that work as earbuds. He has tubes of armor under his skin, the skin of his leg, to act as a built-in shin guard, which I thought was interesting. And he's also the inventor of the Lovetron 9000, the name. It's a vibrator implanted at the base of the penis. And the purpose is to like vibrate there. I think it's pretty
like a cock ring.
Exactly. Like a cock ring. Exactly. Yeah. It's undergone 8 different prototypes and has yet to go under someone's skin. One of the first prototypes was made of glass tubes. I'll show that later. He said that was not a good idea, and I agree with that because what? Prototype number 7, he was going to get implanted in himself, and then as he was running through the cycles, it actually broke. So now he's working with a sex toy company for the latest prototype, but the sex toy company is not named, but I'm extremely curious as to who that is. I think it might be good for clitoral stimulation and is good in place of the cock ring. Once again, I do question, is that more beneficial? Price. I do question price. I also question, is that more beneficial than a cock ring? Sometimes they slip. I don't know.
Yeah. I think everything is supposed to be like an easier, but may actually end up being more cumbersome. That's just the reality of
right,
it.
Right. A little bit of trivia about Rich Lee, and it's sad to call it trivia because this is real life, but he actually lost custody of his children because his co-parent made the claim that the kids seeing their dad modify or mutilate, so he would say modify, she would say mutilate, his body, I think both might fit, in these ways was harmful for the kids to see. So
that ties into something, well, you're going to discuss it later, but I'm also going to discuss something about prejudice and new like ways that people are just like, I don't fuck with this,
right,
and I don't want anybody around like this.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Right. Yeah, so that is interesting. Then we have the NASF, or the neurally augmented sexual function. This one is not a tangible thing. Like, you can't hold it like the Lovetron or implant it like the clitoris electromagnetic thing. It's a patented device, so it's just a picture, and I'll show the picture. Invented by anesthesiologist Stuart Malloy. It's a spinal cord stimulator, and a remote control triggers a zap from electrodes placed along the spine that can trigger an instant orgasm. Sometimes, albeit unfortunately, it is called the Orgasmatron. I do not know why we keep doing Tron. I know that that's ironic because I have a Tron background right now, but we don't have to keep doing that, in my opinion.
We don't. We can let it go.
Hey, it's a good series of films, but whatever, man. The prices are at, if it ever were to be produced, $30,000. And because of that, investors are not interested. And once again, I'm not sold on why this needs to exist. And once again, like, well, maybe we could get into that a little bit later. But okay, I feel like, why would you pay $30,000 when you can just touch your clit? But now that I'm thinking about it,
some people can't achieve orgasm even that way.
Well, true. That's true. That's a really good point. I'm glad that you said that. That's a good point. I'm just thinking about, like, ability. Like, maybe if you are, like, quadriplegic, for example. And I know that sometimes people have, like they pay, like, sex workers or even caretakers to, like stimulate them to achieve orgasm. I've seen that. Yeah. But maybe you don't even want to have that, like, because, like, masturbation is a private kind of thing, man. Maybe if you don't want that, maybe it is just a matter of, like, oh, let me push this button. So, you know what? What's his name? Stuart Malloy? I'm sorry, man.
You might be onto something. Yeah. You might be onto something,
sorry,
man.
Stuart Malloy, and I'm sorry for being, like, ableist in my lens of thinking about that. Because last night I was just like, who the fuck needs this, man? But, yeah, I take that back.
And then as you said it out loud, your brain was like, man, I got you on that one. It always happens, which is
you
good.
You got me there.
It means that you're self-checking, but your brain is always like, man.
You gotta do better. Yeah.
Wrong lens.
Yeah. So now I'm sad that it's 30K, because it's like, it would be cool if someone could experience
accessibility.
That. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Grindr for sex thoughts in general. I was just thinking, like, where's the creativity? I felt like a lot of it was very, like, I don't know. Because, like, I didn't think of anything on my own. You know? So, like, am I being creative? But I just thought about this last night. But I felt like I wasn't seeing niches or problems that it was, like, specifically addressing. And with biohacking being this thing where it's like, oh, we're trying to improve on the human condition, I didn't see much improvements or things that,
as in, like, things that we could already
exactly
do. Why we even, yeah,
exactly. But now that I'm thinking about the spinal cord thing, I'm like, yeah, okay, I can feel that. The cock ring thing, cock rings exist, but I guess the ease of it. So, okay. I'm more forgiving having slept on it. Sometimes you just need to sleep. I do like the dick implant thing because I feel like it addresses kind of, like, it doesn't address it in the way that I would like for it to be addressed, but, like, the orgasm gap between, like, women and, I guess, cisgender women specifically, where it's like, because their cisgender partners don't want to, or whoever partners don't want to stimulate their clitorises. That's why, and I think it's most people with clitorises are, what is it, like a 60-40 kind of thing, or an 80-20 kind of thing, where it's like you achieve orgasm through clitoral stimulation as opposed to vaginal penetration. So I would like for the world to be like, oh, if you have a partner with a clitoris, and honestly, I'm talking about men because I know that lesbians touch their girlfriend's clits. I would like for it to be, for people to, like, be, like, having that be top of mind and centering, like, women's pleasure in that way. And this is, like, a technological, just, like,
shortcut.
Exactly.
Because they're not thinking about it and they're not caring about it. At least there's something that'll just do it for
me. Let me just turn it on. Which, yeah, that's interesting. So, I mean, and that harks back to the interlocking genitals conversation and the CRISPR conversation and all these conversations of, like, these scientific shortcuts to societal issues that exist. So, yeah, I wanted to see a little bit more creativity, though. I'm like a fucking Shark Tank judge or something like that. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about kink. So there's overlap between the body mod and the kink communities. So I can definitely see how this version of body modification in terms of biohacking is overlapping with the kink communities, and like it's kind of like I could feel it, like especially like with Rich Lee, I was getting some like Dom vibes from him.
Yeah.
So I can feel it in the air, but I haven't seen any examples of what that really looks like or what that can be. Even with the husband and that installed the fucking electromagnetic thing in her clit, that seems very kinky to me. Like the fact that he did it, he's like opening up your clit, like that's like we've talked about that. Oof. But like body open, like I'm not rack risk aware consent, but like that's a thing. Opening people is a thing.
It's a thing.
Like the concept of not being able to control when you feel pleasure or stimulation, that seems very like 24/7 slave to me. So it's very it's just in the air, like I can feel it, but they're like not saying like this is how we use
these
kink.
Articles are trying to keep it like exactly surface level, and it's like come on man, we're already
I feel it
we're already talking about cutting open clitorises, you might as well just say.
Exactly. So yeah, then I was starting to think of like what are other things that it can be used for. So I thought of like the shin thing that Rich Lee has. Like that's that can be used for impact play. Like if you put like a plate in your hand and your hand is just like a little bit more. Ooh. Yeah.
That's dope.
I don't know.
Okay.
And then also the internal vibrator thing is very like, come on, that's right there. So
yeah.
I did want to talk a little bit about, before I let you get back into deeper thoughts and implications of this all, get into DIY biology and citizen science. So if you do any of these things in regards to like sexual research, please hit us up because that's something I'm very curious about. But I would like to see that. Like, I would like to see the nootropics continue. I would like to see the implanting thing continue just because I'm curious about where it would go. But I do really want to like see people take sexual topics that need scientific research into their own hands that are being ignored by institutions. So one thing that I always think about a lot is the fact that the HPV vaccine that we have is less effective in HPV strains that show up in Black women. Like, I would just like to know why that is, or maybe how we can work towards a vaccine that does address those strains. And I'm sure that that's probably not occurring because of structural racism. But if there's any like immunologists or virologists out there who like have some free time, because I don't think that that should be straight up like I'm an amateur, but like who want to conduct something and can like dole that out to amateurs. Like there's a lot of like citizen science websites. I used to do that at the beginning of the pandemic where it's like, oh, here's the research we need. Here's how you can help do it. Oh, look at this and tell us like when you see these values over and over again, you record the value. So I would love to see a citizen science project about the HPV vaccine. I would also love to see a citizen science project about fibroids, because those largely affect Black women and are understudied, and I wonder why. Probably structural racism. So if you're a scientist and doing any type of like citizen science or science outside of institutions that's specifically about sexuality and like from our lens of sexuality, like Black queer femmes, non-binary trans people, let us know, man. That's very interesting.
That's
to me.
Dope.
It's very interesting. I would love to see that. But let's talk about some deeper thoughts and implications.
Yes. So you've heard us talk about biohacking specifically from the lens of people doing it themselves and just like having this access to different nootropics or different chemicals and kind of taking things into our own hands. But there's definitely like a commercial side of biohacking that's emerging that is kind of is dominated by white cis men, which we talked about for a little bit, but they have access to the resources, the time, the money. They're being backed by these huge funds. They're just like, let me give you all this money, do whatever you want to do. Companies like Soylent, which is
Soylent is actually a company. I thought it was just a thing.
Yeah, so Soylent is a company, and it's just like the first of these meals that are just juices that you drink. But there's Soylent, there's Huel, there's Manna. They're all in the same vein, and it's like just a complete nutritional meal, 400 calories, drink it up, because they just think, and Soylent specifically I think is the most, not controversial, but they're definitely like, we put GMOs in our stuff because that's what the future is going to be. You're not going to get these pure organic things in the future, so you might as well get used to it now, which is like kind of true, given the fact that we're kind of destroying the planet soon enough. These fresh, things that we take advantage of are going to be gone. And you have to start living off of these genetically modified foods in order to survive. So they have omega-3s. They have all these vitamins, and it's a whole meal. I've actually started to research probably getting into that, because it's also meant to be affordable. But at the end of the day, it's still a huge white company, and it's not like, you know, they're sharing that wealth in any type of way. Bulletproof, which...
Okay, so you're about to talk about Bulletproof. I don't have much on this, but it was just like red flags immediately. So
yeah,
when I was researching this episode, I was just like, yeah, biohacking and sex. Duh, I'm going to type that into Google. So yeah, he comes up immediately. Like, I think yes, he has a podcast, he has a website. So it's just like Dave Asprey, Dave Asprey, Dave Asprey. And I'm like, we got to like talk about who the hell that is, because people are going to see that. So he's a white man, which is already just like, it's a lot of there's a lot of implications there. Then he comes up, and like next to his name is like the father of biohacking, which I think is very important to say, because if you're claiming that, and we're talking about an episode about biohacking, we got to talk about who you are.
Yeah.
So he just gives me red flags. Here's a little bit about him. I'm just going to read it because I just thought that it was all very interesting. He has said that he expects to live to age 180. As of 2019, he has spent at least $1 million hacking his own biology, including having his own stem cells injected into him, taking 100 daily supplements, following a strict diet, bathing in infrared light, using hyperbaric oxygen chamber, wearing special lenses when flying or using a computer. He met his wife, who was a doctor, at an anti-aging conference. And he also claims to have helped his wife with her infertility. So right there, the fact that he spent at least $1 million and can even say something like at least $1 million speaks largely to this access thing that we're talking about here. Another thing that concerns me when it comes to him is that critics have described the Bulletproof diet as unscientific, and that he himself has no medical degree or nutritional training. So it's like he's doing all of these things, and he's like putting out these claims into the ethos that people are literally buying into, and they don't have backing from him, because it seems like he's not doing studies. He's just making claims, and they don't have backing from his training, because he's not trained in these areas. So yeah, like, I'm for citizen science, where it's like, okay, if you're doing science and you're doing the proper scientific method and you yield results, then those results are valid whether or not you went to a school to do it. But you can't not go to a school and not be doing your own citizen science and be making claims. The last thing about him,
profiting off of it.
And profiting. Yes, exactly. That's the huge, that's a huge thing. And like selling these things to people. He also injects stem cells into his own dick, which I thought was, I had to say that. And he says, he says it'll help with erectile dysfunction, but he doesn't have erectile dysfunction. And never did. So it's like, I can see why you're like, oh, you know, I never got it, but like.
So I've been avoiding it because I'm doing this, man. Too bad you guys don't have stem cells in your house, because I promise you, that's the thing. But yeah, Bulletproof, if he has a brand, but this is something that you might have actually heard of if you heard about the keto diet. Bulletproof is the type of coffee where they put butter and MCTs,
oh, that's him,
medium chain triglycerides. Yes, that is him, in your coffee. And it's supposed to give you like this huge boost in the morning and just up your brain power, all that stuff. And that is Bulletproof Coffee that has become a brand. So Bulletproof in general sells nootropics. They sell all of this stuff. And it's, again, it's been in your face this whole time, and that's what he's selling. But hearing that he has no medical training is just like, Jesus Christ.
It's also in, like, what you just said, like, it's been in your face this whole time, like what you were talking about earlier with, like, he's having roots in, like, traditional Chinese medicine. Yep. And then whichever one you said was in the Kama Sutra, that would be traditional Indian medicine.
Yeah.
So now it's, like, white people taking up these things that exist, and probably for cheap, or maybe that you can even grow yourself.
Exactly.
And then selling it back to you for like tenfold.
And that's exactly what it is. Bulletproof, Moon Juice is another one, which is just like these white women. It's a white woman who founded it, who's just very like, I'm zen, and all of these things that are clearly founded in
Asian
Chinese
medicines.
Yeah, exactly. And she's just like, ah, oh, man, it came to me one day, basically. And Oni, yes, which is also another one that sells nootropic stacks. They're selling these things and the adaptogens for big prices. I think Bulletproof, which is literally butter, MCTs, and coffee, is being sold packaged probably for around $30. We all know you can just go to the store and get some butter and some coffee. And MCTs are not expensive. You can get a whole, like, half gallon of it for about, for $10. But it's being, yeah, exactly. So that's why you have to look at both sides of it, because we're very pro DIY, do it yourself. But we can't ignore the fact that there are companies, very white companies, that are just taking these things that have been there and upping the price, as opposed to just saying, or even giving credit to where it came from.
Yeah.
So biohacking is also heavily tied with healthcare and medicine. So the same limitations and issues that affect disabled or people of color or trans or poor people within the healthcare system will also apply to biohacking. As it becomes more of a new norm, there's definitely going to be adopted in the, within the healthcare system. Different things like holistic medicine is starting to become a big thing, and that's where access still comes into play. So there are biohackers and biohacking conferences that specifically are working to make biohacking more affordable and accessible to all, teaching people how to make their own insulin or making their own hormones. Of course, it's radical, but it's dangerous. It's unregulated, and it's just peer review and people saying this worked for me, so you should try it. And it's often done outside of labs. Mm-hmm. But there was one that I really wanted to shout out, because a lot of them, and it was an article where they referenced how the conferences are very white and male heavy. And they're talking about all of these things, like, we want to make the world better, we want to have access to all this stuff. But, and it was a good line, because it was like, but the building isn't even wheelchair accessible. So you already know that they're like,
oof.
Exact. And I was like, okay, you don't even know what
and
you're
talking about. Had all of these resources to put on a conference. Okay, like, that's another part of it. Like, when you're like, from like, for example, this podcast is not fully accessible. We do not have a transcript for it. That's because fucking transcripting is really expensive and we don't have money to do that. But you guys had money to put on a whole fucking conference and like jerk off yourselves about how you want to make the world a better place. And you didn't even think of that. Like, what the fuck? Where was the money going, son? Where was the money
exactly.
going? Give me some of the money. God.
So there's some emerging like conferences that specifically work to address this. So there was one that I thought was really dope. It's called Please Try This at Home. Their tagline is be gay, do crimes against nature. And I'm just like, yes, let's do this. But it's the reason why it's able to get funded. It's 100% free, but it's collaborative with a whole bunch of people who want this to happen. So they all put the money in. It's crowdfunded, and they're all both biohackers but also avid supporters of it. So they're pooling their money together as opposed to being funded by an outside source. And everything is just about, they're the ones who actually are talking about creating your own insulin, because that's, diabetes is rampant in a lot of communities. So it's just like stuff like that, your hormones. And I thought it was dope.
I like that. That's really cool.
And so I'd rather go to that. I'd rather see something like that than anything that any white man is going to tell me. So then there's talk about disability. So some of the most cutting edge technologies are costly. For example, while prosthetics are far from perfect nowadays, they are making significant strides in their advancement. However, the better they perform, the more they cost. There's one bionic hand right now that's called iLimb that costs $100,000. Who can afford $100,000? And that's when the gaps start coming in. Even though health insurance often pays for prosthesis, they don't usually cover the top of the line technology. So I'm reading things about, like, now they're starting to figure out how to mimic the feeling of touch or pressure, but that is going to be way on the other end of costs and ability to access that. You're going to end up with a more basic form as opposed to like $150,000 one that might be as good as a human hand, but you'll never see it. Mm-hmm. The average person will never see it. Mm-hmm. Is the concept of making your body, this is my question, is the concept of making your body better or improving, that was your question actually.
Yeah, that's my question. Yeah. Well, yeah, so biohacking is like rooted in this we're improving the human condition. And I'm just wondering if that's ableist or not. Like, in the same way that when we talk about CRISPR and people like want to edit out certain conditions that people have, and the people who have those conditions are like, I exist and I don't want that to be edited out. Like, for example, folks with autism. So it's like, is the world inherently inaccessible, or do we make a world that's inaccessible? Right. So like,
yeah.
Are you quote unquote better for having two working legs, or is everything built for people with two working legs instead of somebody who's in a wheelchair?
And that's,
and who's to say what's better?
It's always going to be the majority, and that's what the problem is. And that's where
things, or the people in power,
the people in power, you're actually right, because majority, who's listening, right? The people in power are like, it's demand, obviously. Capitalism is just about whatever's going to make the most money. So if a whole lot of people are buying this stuff and they're buying into it, that's when it becomes a new normal. But it's also worrying because of the fact that if so many people, or if a lot of people, can suddenly afford to put a chip in their hand, right? And this is something that I don't even want, but now so many people are doing it, it becomes something that if you don't have, you're now being ostracized, or you're now being like, oh, you don't have a chip in your hand, you got to open the door like a regular person. Now what's considered better? What's considered normal? What is anything anymore? You know what I mean? Once we start moving towards this technology and human marriage moving forward. Another thing, talking about access, or just talking about marginalized communities, for trans people, accessing healthcare, as we know, is more difficult within our systems that subject trans people to gatekeeping and discrimination constantly. Large communities within the biohacker space identify as trans or non-binary, which is great, and they want to take back access and medical care that has been taken away from them from the comfort of their own space or home. I've actually seen a lot of articles that were like how transhumanism is inherently about moving towards a genderless society, or just kind of like no longer identifying as genders or stuff like that, just like very tied together, which I thought was dope. And there's an artist in who's based in Baltimore, who's primarily an artist and then suddenly became interested in biology, so is now a tactical biologist. His name is Ryan Hammond. He wants to make the process easier for using genetically modified plants. He plans to engineer transgenic tobacco plants to produce hormones like estrogen and testosterone, allowing anyone to grow their own supplements at home. Which, like we were talking about with HPV, and like I've also seen people trying to cure HIV at home, or trying to find a herpes cure. A lot of things that people are trying to take back ailments that they otherwise would not get help for, or discrimination for, and just trying to cure these things themselves and talk to each other and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And he used tobacco plants because there's so much research on tobacco plants, and because of the fact that there's a whole industry around behind that, and he's trying to make that and use that research and something that's abundant in supply and use it towards trans people or hormone therapy.
That's that good motherfucking shit that I like. Wow. I stand that.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
It's
really just flipping, and that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, I think you were saying this before. It's flipping the communities or the things that these companies don't want to focus on because there's no money in it, or there's no like power, or it's just them being racist or assholes about it and taking, all right, well, you don't want to look at this, but I know you know tobacco plants inside and fucking out.
Exactly.
So let me use that research to bring it over to something that would otherwise be ignored.
Exactly. It's just like working with what you got, which I really like that.
I like that too, for sure. And I guess now it's just like thoughts. We were talking about, I wrote a little bit, but I said a lot of it. It's just, is this the future we want? Is this the trajectory of the inevitable? Is this something that sounds good to you? Sounds good to me? I don't know. And you said this, I want a future that everyone has access to any and all enhancements or what habits or changes that they desire for themselves. I believe in agency of your own body. I believe in I want to do this. I'm not hurting anyone. That's a big thing. I don't believe in you should try this on me. No, it's me. If this is one thing that I want for myself, having access is very important. But that also feels naive, obviously, mm-hmm. because that should be something that's happening now, not necessarily just in a biohacking future. And it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not blind to the drawbacks of having everyone have access to a whole bunch of chemicals or have access to a whole bunch of chips, and how easily humans doing what humans do, it could go left. It could be now, you know, I'm creating chemicals and telling you it's this, and it's, I don't know, something that's going to explode your gut out. I don't know. I'm not saying that it should be that, but...
Slicing your clitoris.
Yes. You know, and that could be that, but maybe that's not what I wanted. Maybe I just... wanted something else, and now I have an exploding clitoris. I don't know what I want. But I was personally able to hop online and buy some nootropics at a relatively cheap price, as opposed to going through Moon Juice, which I had initially, like, that's one of the websites that I initially wanted to get adaptogens from and kind of get these combinations that they're telling me that will tell me will calm down and reduce my anxiety, et cetera, et cetera. And I was able to get it at, like, less than half the price because I'm doing the work and I'm doing, and that's what I want. I don't want a company to sell me something at $50 when I can now have the same effects and I chose to do this and I can even take off things that I don't even want mm-hmm. for $15. That's what I want for everybody. Mm-hmm. But that requires a lot of research. That requires a lot of education. That requires
time.
Not time. And not everybody has. I had that because of COVID. But yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to buy what's already pre-made because that's just what's easier.
Convenience. I just wish.
Exactly. And I said this before, but I'm also a little worried about a new prejudice. Anything that's new or not immediately opens itself up to being understood can lead itself to a new prejudice. While this seems like the new inevitable future, what does that mean for people who are not participating in this, who just want to live a life that has nothing to do with technology, but they're no longer the majority? They're people who are now have to be isolated. I don't know how humans are going to react to that because people are elitist. People who have access to things will always try and shit on people who don't. Mm-hmm. It's no longer going to be, oh, you don't have the new sneakers on the block. It's going to be like, oh, you got the version 2 chips in your hand. I'm on version 10.
Or fuck even you. Like not even like the fucking like middle school, oh, you don't got Jordans or whatever, but yeah. Even just like, yo, I don't have a car, which I didn't for a very long time, and mm-hmm. it takes me this long to get to work, and I have to live in this neighborhood because I don't have that much money, and you live in that neighborhood or you have a car and you get to work way faster than me, and I'm coming to work tired having rode the train yeah. for 2 hours, and you're coming to work spry for Ooh. Fucking riding the train for 15 minutes and you're getting a fucking promotion and I'm not. I'm talking That's about real. My real life in real life.
You're like, I'm yeah, just damn it.
This is why I'm a freelancer now. But like, yeah, so like, is there accessibility that comes with, or like extra accessibility that comes with these things?
Yeah.
And I think that people who are in this space right now don't think about that because they view themselves as marginalized individuals, which to some extent I'm sure they are, like richly, I think, like you had something early in the document that compared these people to Silicon Valley, and I was like, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree yeah. with that because people in this community are putting themselves in opposition to Silicon Valley because they don't have the same type of wealth that yeah. you find in Silicon Valley, but that doesn't mean that they don't have privileges. So like, you can be yeah. both marginalized for being in whatever space in America and for whatever other reasons that you're marginalized, but you're also not in tune to other kinds of marginalized people.
Yeah.
And as we know, being Black people and setting the culture for America over and over and over again, things from the margin come to the center. So like right now, these people who are on the cusp of biohacking and like feel like they're renegades and biopunk and all that kind of stuff are at the margins. But I think like, maybe not all of these technologies, but I'm sure a lot of these technologies are going to come to the center. And you can see that with things like Moon Juice. It looks like fucking, reminds me of Goop or whatever. Like,
you looked very, at it, right?
Yeah, it's very.
Goop endorses them.
I'm yeah, not surprised.
They're so very hand, exactly.
It's very like aesthetic or what. So like that's something from the margins coming to the center. I would not be surprised if some of the things that people are operating and implanting in themselves now, or installing, as I like to say, in themselves now, will come to the center. And as it comes, all of these people who are at the cusp of it are not thinking about other kinds of marginalized communities that they need to be thinking about. And when it comes to the center, it's going to forget about everybody else again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's real.
So,
yeah.
I did also think it was interesting that he lost his children, and I don't know what the implications of that are, but it's just curious to me. Like, I could see if he was like literally opening himself up in front of his kids, because then it's like,
are they traumatizing?
Are they going to try to do it? I don't, or is it just like they know that he has it? I don't know. That's definitely a case that sets a precedent, and I don't know if I agree with the precedent that it's setting.
Yeah.
If it's just existing.
And I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
My own children. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. I don't know. Yeah. But that's biohacking, guys.
Biohacking for sex. That was our segment, guys. Me and Sam got passionate, like, man.
Well, we're going to wrap up, not going into a full segment, but just like, what does our biohacking for sex look like in the future? I only have like 3 things, so I'm curious about your whole story here.
Well, there's a story, all right, guys? I'm going to do it quick, all right? I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, like, what would I want? Like, what would be cool?
Yeah.
There's a game, I'm going to quickly talk about it, Cyberpunk 2077.
Very excited for it.
I'm so excited. I got Sam on board. That's what I wanted. I'm going to, anyone who I get to talk about this game with, I want them to play it. It's very much in tune with this biohacking future that it seems like inevitability. There's the range of, like, hackers, that's what they're called, I think, where like you can go in this underground facility and they'll just hack you up and change you and put chips in, and there's also like the super polished ones at corporate America. So there's definitely the range. It's supposed to be like that. It's dope as hell. That's where I imagine it going. And I know it's always a dystopian future, but this one's kind of like middle ground gray. It's just like, this is just the way it is. It doesn't have to be good or bad. Okay. So that's why I think about it like a cityscape, kind of like the background here, you know, if you can see on YouTube. So for me, I was like, man, like, what would I want to improve? Like, what would I want to happen? I was like, first of all, iron knees is it. Iron self-lubricating liquid knees that move, and having like an extreme flexibility, almost contortionist, like anywhere that I want to go, I'm doing it. And 4 arms. I know that, look, this is to the point where everyone has it and we're all doing something. I want some extra arms, right? I thought that would be cool. But also on the chemical aspect, I thought to myself, like, if I had a pump or some, like an asthma pump, but not for asthma, with a rotating dial that I could administer any type of nootropic or herbal tonic stack based off the type of mood I'm trying to be with. So it's like, when I'm trying to smash this sex robot that I'm eyeing at the bar, okay? Because they're going to be walking around like
looking
mixed
all
with
sexy
society, yeah. Like, hey, what's up? I'm going to just pull out my pump, set it to schmooze, and, you know, put the moves on her. Suddenly, I've got the confidence of a mediocre cis white man, but with consent, and I'm actually a good person. Not to say that they're all... Yeah, I'm not going to disclaim that if they're all bad people, they're all bad people. Anyway, and we go on from there, you know? And that's why I just thought to myself, if there was a way to, like, kind of just change it and be fluid and be very, like, dancey and, you know, I'm trying to aim at this person, maybe they like the arts, so all of a sudden I'm learning about the arts from my pump and stuff like that. I just thought it would be cool. So that would be like a wealth of information, or just like a mood, or, you know, being aggressive if that person's like a sub, or yeah, like
so it's like the new, you're putting the nootropics on yourself.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I think that's an important distinction to make, because I could also feel like this could tip into, it reminds me of like that fucking not horny goat weed. God, I don't remember.
Which is a nootropic.
Thank you for that.
There's so many things that I just know. Like, I'm just like, yeah, that's a thing too.
I don't remember what it was. Spanish fly. Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby made a
joke in his 1980s stand-up or whatever. Where he was like, oh, I'll give her a little Spanish fly. It'll open her right up. And then it turns out he's fucking like drugging women with Quaaludes. So like using nootropics with a certain blah 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 like function to try to like drug somebody.
That is an important, that is 100% important distinction. 300% never thought about using it on the other person.
I'm so glad that you're 300%.
Yeah, it has to be 300% because my God, no. It was me kind of like, so one of the things that I've been in like present day researching is a nootropic stack, which we talked about earlier, which is just like combining things that would help me with my social anxiety because it limits me in a lot of ways where like I'm, otherwise, I feel confident in myself when I'm alone, but I have gone and missed social occasions or I've not participated in chats or I've just done certain things and held myself back because of my social anxiety. Mm. And I realized how crippling it could be for me. So I've been very interested in, and that's what's important with nootropics or all of those things. It's attainable goals. You don't want to like be able to fly off the fly because that's not going to happen, but anytime soon. But like things like being a little more productive or being a little more less anxious. Those are things that I, goals that I've been trying to achieve. So for me, that's why that's in my ideal character because it's access. I don't think that I'll always be this person, but to be able to kind of turn that on and be less anxious and be less like in my head and feel more confident is definitely a goal that I'm trying to attain, but it, in my new body, I definitely want that to be easy and quick for me to do for myself. If it doesn't work out and they don't, they're not interested in me and the robot's just like not digging it, that's fine too, but at least I know I felt confident and I did what I had to do.
I fuck with it.
This was a whole vision here, guys. Been thinking about this a while.
We can see that. I like that. I like that. I like the biohacked you in the biohack world. Mine is also knees. That is actually the literal first thing I thought about. It was probably as my knees were hurting me. Knees are just like,
they're so vital.
They're vital, but like that's when we talk about like how the human condition could be improved. It depends on like where you come from, like a religious and spiritual standpoint. But if you come from purely like an evolutionary standpoint, there are some things that like could be better, or like we kind of just like, it's not so great. So like I remember like watching this YouTube video from like SciShow or something like that where it was like knees are just like human knees are just like destined to fail. Like they're just not, they're not good. So I was like, I'm installing titanium knees.
There you go. Wow, we just knew you had to.
I didn't have the lubrication like you though, so I think that's fucking cool. I also was like, not my impact play hand that I mentioned earlier, but I think that could be cool. Honestly, maybe like a left hand, but my right hand, I wanted to have a vibrating hand because I feel like the head game would be crazy for any genital.
Yo, for real. Hold it at the base or hold it inside. You're having a fucking great time. Nah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So vibrating hands. I wrote down wireless network. I don't remember why I said that though. Yeah, I don't remember why I said that. Maybe like accessing like music in order to set vibes when you're not at home.
That's dope. I thought about that too. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I thought, because I recently dyed my hair. Hello, YouTube, if you want to see it. I don't know what world this is because I don't have any fucking basis of this yet, but just like hair that can change on its own. Like the robots in Become Human can like fucking shift themselves or whatever. So that would be cool if I could, like, oh, I'm going to this punk party or whatever. I'm going to the cyberpunk party and my hair is going to be blue. Oh, I got to go into this, like, quote unquote professional space. Let me do my hair back black. And then last but not least, it's not biohacking, but I do, like, if we're going like 100 in the future with this, like, meshing the lines between human and cyborg, I want to fuck sex robots, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to just be me and the sex robot. So like I want partnered human sex with sex robots. And we're all just like
having a good time. Yes. It's also funny that we both included sex robots in this. Like we're just like, yeah, we know
there's
what we want.
There's definitely some wavelengths, which is why we have the same background on Zoom today. Well, that's really fun. Hopefully we can revisit this in like a couple of months or like a year and be like,
what's the updates?
Exactly. I would like to see it.
I hope so too.
Okay. Well, we're not going to do fuck you today. That is a segment where we read listener letters, but we would love to know what are all of your thoughts about biohacking for sex. If you're with the shits, what's your biohacking fan fiction? You can email us, DM us, or we can talk about it in our private Patreon Slack. chat. Our email address is ihupodcast@gmail.com. You can read your biohacking fan fiction and send us a voicemail by calling 404-491-9158. That is 404-491-9158. Both the email and the number are in the show notes. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, made you think about the future, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising, CUMMUNITY. Head to InahoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a ho, or check out our merchandise. And if you would like to follow me, this transhumanist, existential femme, Rodeca, at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram or at Exist in Crisis on Twitter.
You can follow me at Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter. I don't have a cool... have a cool futuristic thing, but I gotta fucking develop one like Rodeca over here. And also you can follow me at Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. That's all. Have a lovely week. Nice.